Track 13. Finally, we have a story by David Bryant called An Explosive Start to the Festivities. I'm afraid I can tell you nothing about the author, so just sit back and enjoy the story. An Explosive Start to the Festivities by David Bryant. This takes place in a parish somewhere in England. Christmas Eve. I was just tucking in to baked beans on toast when there was a bang on the vicarage door. A bearded, snow-flecked head appeared through the gap, dressed in what looked like ex-Iraqi combat gear. It was Jack, my trusty church warden. He had an irritating smile on his face that boded trouble. "Message from Orton, Vicar. Is he to decorate the tree, seeing as Mrs. Pontin's sick and Daisy Leach with a bad leg and..." "No," I cut in, "leave it to me." Orton, my one-eyed, black-patched, rascally pirate chief of a verger, would have made a dog's dinner of decorating a toilet seat, let alone a Christmas tree. Jack looked sheepish. "He's been and done it, like..." My heart sank a million miles. "Come on," I said tiredly. "Let's take a peek." Piccadilly wasn't in it. The wretched tree, a spindly runt of a spruce, was smothered in purple, gold, scarlet and green tinsel, dangling bells, chocolate motorcyclists, and a group of what looked like silver foil SAS men with lollipop machine guns under their armpits. Bulbs were flickering on and off like some insane disco lighting. The monstrosity would have looked at home in downtown Las Vegas. But it was the appalling object fastened to the top of the tree that drew my gaze. It was a kind of overblown Diana Dawes, with cascading yellow string hair, scarlet lips, fluttering eyelashes and china blue eyes, beaming out of a fatuous smile. The nether regions of this horror sported a flouncy wisp of sequined skirt, beneath which a pair of suspenders and fishnet stockings peeped out. "Good Lord," I said. "Where did you get those ghastly decorations from, Mr. Orton? And that hoyden on top?" He gave a throaty wheeze. "Fell off back of a lorry, you might say, Reverence. Tasty, ain't they?" Jack was chortling like a schoolboy. "Right corker she is, Vicar. Look at her lips." "That's quite enough, Jack. We're in a house of God, not a Blackpool music hall." At that point, the tree lights fizzled, spluttered and died. The relief on my tortured eyeballs was overpowering. Orton's dulcet tones cracked the quietness of the sanctuary. "Her suspenders have rubbed up again this dodgy flex, Reverence. Shorted it. Then made of foil strips, see? Wicked stuff where electric's concerned." Jack turned on his idiot grin. "One look at her legs, Vicar, and you blow a fuse. Funny like, isn't it?" I was just about to end this lavatorial schoolboy humour with my German Sturmfuhrer voice when Orton joined the two loose ends of wire. This time the whole church blacked out. Orton gave his TB sanatorium cough. "Box has blown, Your Holiness." The Iraqi commando produced a torch. "That'll be the mains fuse in the boiler room, Vicar." We wended our way through the blizzard and tramped inside. The red writing above the fuse box danced in the torchlight. "It is an offence and highly dangerous to remove electric seals or to tamper with the mains fuse box." Beneath was a picture of a skull and crossbones and a matchstick man pirouetting to the tune of a 500-volt shock. "You can't touch it," I barked. "We'll have to ring the emergency number." "'Tis a load of old cobblers, that, Reverence. Them notices is to stop hammerters topping themselves." Orton clearly viewed himself as an electrical engineer with an honours degree from Harvard University. He spat out his fag end, belched loudly and said, "Burnt through the wire like what I thought, melted and all. Have that lot fixed in a jiffy." He disappeared into the Arctic weather and returned with a length of thick wire. "Where did you get that?" I snapped. "Nipped it all Farmer Brownlow's fence. short-sighted as a donkey he is, never noticed nothing he won't. Make a good sermon, that, vicar. The mysterious hole in the wall and how it got there, like. This was the trusty Jack. Orton clambered noisily down from the ladder. All systems go, reverence. Rubbed a twist of shag over that there seal I have. Nobody won't know nothing, not even the Queen of England herself. Right, I said, let's get this job done. You throw the switch, Jack. I'll check the tree lights. He looked as if the doctor had just told him to drop his trousers. Not with Mr. Orton's electrics, vicar. Rather dry the herd of cows down the M1, I would. I'll do it then, I said, taking a broom handle. I plunged the switch down. There was a muffled bang and the entire front of the box exploded open in a cloud of blue smoke and flickering flames. Now what? I said weakly, with visions of spending Christmas Day in a police cell. Orton broke the silence. We'll have to have the electric out. And get arrested for tampering with Northern Electricity property? The black fangs gaped. Leave it to me, reverence. 2 hours later, the emergency call-out man arrived. He took one look and his lips narrowed. Who's been tampering with this box? Orton attempted to look like the Archangel Gabriel. Rats, mister. That's what caused it. Rats? The man's voice was cold as the graveyard. Honest to God, mister, there was me stoking this dog-iron boiler and tickle me backside with a feather if I didn't look up to heaven, and there was this rat gnawing at the wires like them Gorgonzola. Teeth like razors it had. Shocked hisself cruel, that rat. You have him on, mate. I've heard better from the Marines. Jack chimed in. But he's all right. Constitution like an ox, that rat. Healthy as the day he was born. Look. He flicked on the torch, and there was a plump, sleek rat sniffing happily among the pieces of charred rubber and melted wire. Stone of crows! I'd never have thought it, the electric man said, mouth agape. Rats biting through the seal and surviving 500 volts? My mates will never believe it. Nor did I. I waited until the van's taillights had disappeared into the Greenland snowstorm. Where the devil did that rat come from, Mr. Orton? He took a long, smug suck at his fag end. Borrowed it off me niece while we was waiting, reverence. One of her pet ones goes by the name of Sinbad. Well, you had to hand it to him. The pirate chief was as sharp as an East End barrow boy. Christmas Day dawned clear and bright. Crystal snow covered the churchyard. The church was packed. Orton, as stage manager, was safely tucked away behind the curtains, and the Sunday school children were about to present their first tableau. I felt relaxed and at ease. The worries of the night before had vanished. I glanced at my programme. Scene 1, no room at the inn. It should be good. The curtain rose and Orton's unspeakable handiwork was revealed. The inn had been knocked up out of old orange boxes. A crazy sign swung drunkenly across its front, the dog and goat. Leaning against the Seville Best Oranges planking was a chalked board. Old Bulldog, 1.40 a pint, Scratch, 1.20, happy hour, 11 a.m. On the other side, a length of wallpaper had been tacked. It read, Specials, Yorkshire pudding and gravy, £2.20, pie and mushy peas, £1.70. In front of this abomination stood Joseph and Mary dressed in sheets, talking to a grotesque little innkeeper with a coconut fibre beard and two curtain rings in his earlobes. Jack leaned over and dug me in the ribs. Orton, he hammered up the stable light. The specials was my idea. Pride was written all over his face. What do you reckon, vicar? What I reckoned was this. You couldn't win in my job. Not with one of Saddam Hussein's sidekicks as church warden and Captain Pugwash as your verger. Tell you what, though. The tourist office had an ad in the window last week. Enjoy a peaceful Christmas cruising the tranquil waters of the Caribbean. I might just give it a whirl next year.